This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد جاءكم رسول من أنفسكم عزيز عليه ما عنتم حريص عليكم بالمؤمنين رؤوف رحيم وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم خير الناس أنفعهم للناس أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, I would like to be focused with my topic simply owing to the lack of time. There's much that can be said and I wish to express my gratitude firstly, after expressing it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the organizers of this particular event, to the staff and the management of the school. May Allah take it from strength to strength. It was very heartening to see the endeavors, the achievements and the prosperity. But let me add by saying that there is no stage in the life of a human, and in particular in the life of a believer, be it a male or a female, that he or she can become totally satisfied and complacent with his achievements. There is always room that we better and we improve ourselves. And really speaking, when the spirit is that, and the sentiments are accordingly, that the drive is to continuously improve and better ourselves, then trust me, we will learn from juniors and seniors, from positive and negative situations. Someone said it very beautifully in the English language, that a positive thinker is one who finds an opportunity in every difficulty, while a negative thinker finds a difficulty in every opportunity. Allah devotes one chapter of the Quran to Luqman the wise, and Allah speaks eloquently about the wisdom of this one individual. But something that is noteworthy in his life was, someone asked him, مِمَّنْ تَعَلَّمْتَ الْأَدَبَ? Oh Luqman, you have it all, be it wisdom, be it knowledge, be it the art of conveying, disseminating. Where did you learn it from? What an answer he gave. He said, I learnt it from those who lack it. Someone asked him, مِمَّنْ تَعَلَّمْتَ الْأَدَبَ? From who did you learn it? He said, I learnt it from those who lack it. People said, elaborate. Now listen, and I beg for your undivided attention. He said, every time I seen someone doing something wrong, I looked with the eye of learning and not the critical eye. So I said, if that looks wicked to me and despicable to me when he does it, I guess it will look despicable to others when I do it. So having said this and applied this mindset, I looked at the mistakes of others and I started avoiding it. And it was the result of avoiding the blunders of others that Allah made me the wise Luqman. Now I'm afraid, forgive the metaphor, I'm afraid we look with the critical eye. I don't wish to offend anyone, excuse my metaphor. Today she is a daughter-in-law. Unfortunately, she frowns on the wrongs of her mother-in-law, not with the eye of learning. So when she assumes the position, if one calls it a position, she repeats the same blunders, if not worse. We've all have been tutored and we all have schooled. And I think without doubt, in the career and the schooling of every individual, there's been a teacher that's been outstanding. And he leaves a permanent impression in your heart and mind that it's a pleasure meeting him 20 years down the line. And on the reverse, there is a teacher that has the direct opposite, that you don't want to hear his name, you don't want to see him, you don't want to meet. Have I ever sat down as a teacher and a tutor and asked myself, as a young child growing up, what was there in that man that left me impressed? That I loved him, I anticipated his coming. It was always a pleasure to be in his class. And what was it about this man, despite being profound, despite being, eloquent, despite being articulate and having all the degrees attached to his name, but it wasn't comfortable for me being in his class. If we ask ourselves those questions, then we will find there's much for us to learn. There is much for us to learn. So that's my first humble appeal that I can make. Let us sit today and in every interaction with the opportunity of learning. We know not where we can pick up what words of advice. The other day I heard something very brilliant and it left me thinking, and I thought I'd share it with you as well. The Prophet ﷺ said, Al-hikmatu dhallatul mu'min. Wisdom is the lost item of a believer. Wherever he finds it, he's most deserving of it. The question was posed, and the theory that was presented, that today if we look at an average man, an average adult, then we find there's very little mental power. There is very little mental power in an average adult today. And then to substantiate the theory, you take a child. Child engages you in some form of play and amusement. And the child tires you out. And the child keeps on playing. You play for 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and that's the end of it. But the child continues relentlessly. What's the reason? And I really found this something striking, intriguing. It left me thinking. The answer given was that a child has his total mind power focused on what he's doing. So he's not lamenting the past or planning the future, which is the case with the average adult. So unfortunately, he's busy, involved in something, but his half mind is lamenting the past and the other half is planning the future. Hence, he cannot constructively engage in what is happening. And I'm afraid that is one of the realities that we face in our class, which we cannot deny, that we might be physically in class, but mentally, we are not prepared to engage this class that has come and are there before us as a trust that we disseminate the knowledge to them. So let us sit with the intention of learning. Myself, let me speak with the intention of learning. Let us engage with our students as well with the intention of learning. I think in my humble understanding, the most critical area of communication, be it between a parent and a child or a teacher and a student, in essence is to leave the child and the student convinced by virtue of your character that you are his well-wisher. If you have impressed upon him and left him convinced that you are there in his interest and his well-being, trust me, he will comply to the most difficult of tasks. And if you will not leave him convinced, he will frown on the easiest of tasks. Why? Because there is a whisper within him that this is clouded with an ulterior motive. Now, how do we impress upon my child or my student that I am there in your interest? One is to verbally say it, my son, do what I tell you and don't do what I do. But it doesn't work that way. Our children pay more attention to what we do than say. That's Sahabi, and this sums it up, who accepted Islam. He said, لَقَدْ دَلَّنِي عَلَى هَذَا النَّبِي أَنَّهُ لَا يَأْمُرُ بِخَيْرٍ إِلَّا كَانَ أَوَّلَ آخِذٍ بِهِ وَلَا يَنْهَى عَنْ شَرٍ إِلَّا كَانَ أَوَّلَ تَارِكٍ لَهُ. The thing that convinced me on this man was, I noticed, not once or twice, but repeatedly, whenever he advocated a message, he practiced it first. And when he prohibited anything, he abstained first. I was convinced this is the right man. Now let us ask ourselves, I was told that the topic or the nature of the talk be focused more to teachers and to guardians and to tutors, and hence that would be the tone of my presentation. So he said, this is the thing that left me impressed the most. In the world, there are many people that claim and chant the slogans that they are our well-wishers, but I'm afraid their actions are contrary. And for this, the point of reference, the very first incident that happened and the Quran speaks about is that of our father Adam alayhi salam with the devil. When Allah prohibited Adam from consuming from the particular tree, and Allah said, you move around freely and merrily in Jannah, the devil came to Adam. And the devil said, listen, can I perhaps explore and explain to you the wisdom of this prohibition? So Adam alayhi salam, innocent, he said, what is the wisdom? Why? So the devil goes on to say, مَا نَهَاكُمَا رَبُّكُمَا عَنْ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ مَا نَهَاكُمَا رَبُّكُمَا عَنْ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ إلا أن تكونا ملكين أو تكونا من الخالدين وقاسمهما إني لكما لمن الناصحين. The devil says the only reason why this is forbidden, if you consume, you will be favored with eternity. But perhaps if you are a bit skeptical in digesting my theory, then let me substantiate and leave you convinced. I swear by the grandeur of the Almighty, I am your well-wisher and nothing more. So what I'm saying is, there are many people who will claim it, who will take an oath upon it, who will swear on the name of Allah. And hence that is what the devil did to our father Adam alayhi salam. But the Quran says he was not the well-wisher. فَدَلَّاهُمَا بِغُرُورِ He led them onto the mistake. So we've got to convince our student and our child that we are there in his interest and his well-being. The verse of the Quran that I recited, Allah describing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِمَا عَنِتُّمْ Indeed, the Prophet of Allah has been sent to you. And Allah speaks of two qualities amongst His outstanding salient qualities. He is passionate about your interests. عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِمَا عَنِتُّمْ It hurts Him to see you in pain. That is a common quality of a well-wisher. That is a Aziz, it hurts him, it burdens him. It's inconceivable for him to fathom pain, difficulty, hardships come your way. And he is passionate to see how your abilities are constructively channeled. Now there's a beautiful example that the Quran gives. And I want to explore this to a certain degree to make us understand as parents, as tutors, what is our role in becoming the well-wishers. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Khayru an-nasi anfa'uhum lin-nas." The noblest of humanity is he who is not selfish but becomes selfless in the benefit of others. Unfortunately, we are in a time where everything has been commercialized. So, from helping, engaging to simple advice. I mean, I know there's a lot of legal eagles here and I don't wish to offend anyone. But they say this person went to ask a lawyer, what do you charge for, what are your legal, you know, for legal advice? Nobody wants to be kind, you know, there must be some monetary return. So he said, I charge 1,000 rand for 3 questions. So the person said, well, that is really exorbitant. He said, you're correct. By the way, what's your 3rd question? Anyway, let's look at this incident. And revive our spirit and look at who our ancestors were. And then see, are we conveying? And this is the critical issue. Last year I was in Perth and there's a very big Islamic school. And from time to time, wherever I travel, I make it a point to visit the Islamic schools. It was quite impressive to see multi-nationalities under one roof. Literally the demographics of that class, the dynamics and the logistics of that class were perplexing. I mean, the task that rested on the shoulder of that teacher was enormous, was colossal. To imagine there's a child from Iraq, there's a child from Palestine, there's a child from Somalia, you name it, from the African and the West continent in your class. Can you imagine the skills, the patience, the competence of that teacher in now molding this class together? It's really challenging, it's really daunting. Allah speaks about the incident of Yusuf alayhi salam in the Quran. When Yusuf alayhi salam was innocently imprisoned, in this interim, there were 2 youngsters that also came. Both were respectedly accused of poisoning the king's food. The case was under investigation and in the interim they were imprisoned. In this interim, they had seen a vision and as well they had taken a liking to Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam. So they seen this dream. And they came very attached and very fond of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. So they came to him and they said, Nabbi'na bita'wilihi. Nabbi'na bita'wilihi. Inna naraka minal muhsineen. Narrate to us the interpretation of this dream. We see you have the vision, the foresight, the integrity, the skills. Now, I believe very strongly, and I've got much to learn. There are people that are more senior in knowledge and age sitting here. I'm a humble student. But a critical thing, if you look at the methodology of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we've underestimated his methodology today. There are many things that have come to the fore: this skill, this therapy, this opportunity, this interaction. But really, we've not looked at his life as a tutor and as a teacher. He himself has said it emphatically: "Bu'ithtu mu'allima." Allah has sent me as a teacher. Hence, Allah had adequately equipped him with the necessary skills of teaching. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ. Indeed, it is the great boon and favor of the Almighty upon you when He sent amongst you a Nabi who teaches you and educates you. So whatever possibly could be taught to any tutor to pass thereon was done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to His beloved companion, to His beloved servant and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Sayyidina Yusuf realized that these people have taken a liking for me, and they have an obligation to me, and they are obliging to me, they have a need from me, he said, let me strike now and let me seize the opportunity. And that's what I want to speak on 2 minutes. That in a class setup, it's vital. At home, it's vital. At times, we might have a certain syllabus. We might chalk out certain work. But something unplanned comes and dominates the situation. It is of a wise teacher that he latches onto that and turns the tone of that period in a positive way that leaves the students impressed, and they pick up the lesson, and they pick up the lesson from that, and they move on. Now, what did Sayyidina Yusuf do? Yeah, and then I will tie it up with the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. First, he gave them the comfort that your dream will be interpreted. There again, we learn something. So a child comes to us, you're spending, it's an ideal time that you can negotiate with him. But again, give him the comfort that I'm not delaying because I'm withholding the money. Let him know your money is confirmed. Here's it, I got it, here's the 20 rand. But before I give it to you, I need to talk to you. That's what Sayyidina Yusuf did. Because if you don't confirm that I have approved your request, the child is not listening. His mind is now still, you know, I need to go from here and try by my mother. Because nothing is happening here. Sayyidina Yusuf said, لَا يَأْتِيكُمَا طَعَامٌ لَا يَأْتِيكُمَا طَعَامٌ تُرُزَقَانِهِ إِلَّا نَبَّأْتُكُمَا بِتَأْوِيلِ. Listen, the interpretation of the dream, that's no big issue. Before you get your lunch, your dreams will be sorted out. Before your lunch comes, you'll know what it means. But before that, let me talk to you. So they've got the solace and the comfort that what we've come for has been accomplished. Now let's hear the man out. And this is the time we infiltrate. And this is the time we convey our message. So you look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the riwayat is in Muslim Sharif. Sahaba say, we were sitting and then some captives were brought. And amongst the captives, there was a non-Muslim woman who was also in captive, and she lost sight of her child. Bada'at tas'a, and she started pacing up and down, aimlessly looking for her child. And this softened the atmosphere. She might be a disbeliever, but she's a mother, and that's her child. And that softens the heart of any human. She caught sight of her child. أَخَذَتْهُ فَأَلْزَقَتْهُ بِبَطْنِهَا. She latched onto the child. She hugged the child. She embraced the child. She suckled the child. It brought tears into the eyes of every Sahabi. It was an emotional atmosphere. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam seized the opportunity. He said, أَتَرَوْنَ هَذِهِ الْمَرْأَةُ طَارِحَةً وَلَدَهَا فِي النَّارِ. Tell me, my Sahaba, you and I collectively observe the passion this woman has for her child. You think this mother will ever dare forsake this child? They said, never. I doubt any mother, but never this one. The Prophet ﷺ said, right, you heard that, now listen. لَاللَّهُ أَرْحَمُ بِعِبَادِهِ مِنْ هَذِهِ بِوَلَدِهَا. What I have to tell you is a build up on this. I swear by Allah, He loves, that is Allah loves His servants more than this woman loves this child. What I'm saying is, when the opportunity presents, we've got to strike. That is an opportunity. The hearts were soft. They were ready to receive. This was the time to infiltrate. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam returns from a battle. There is a dead carcass of an animal lying on the floor. Everybody looks at it. They block their nose. There is a stench. And, you know, an expression of disapproval and disgust towards it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you want to have it for 2 dirhams. They said, we won't have it for free. He said, I swear by Allah, this world holds less value in the eyes of Allah than this carcass holds in your eyes. So this was something they expressed their dislike. So he latched onto that and made them understand this world is less, holds less value in the eyes of Allah. Anas radiallahu anhu says, the riwayat of Bukhari, we were sitting outside, it was a bright moonlit night. We looked at the moon, we admired the moon, we stared at the moon. He said, إِنَّكُمْ سَتَرَوْنَ رَبَّكُمْ كَمَا تَرَوْنَ هَذَا الْقَمْرِ لَا تُضَمُّونَ فِي رُؤْيَتِهِ. Enjoy the sight. Trust me, it will be the day of Qiyamah. Billions will converge. You'll admire your Allah just as you're admiring this moon. وَاللَّهُ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَرَاهُ كَمَا نَرَى قَمْرًا بَدَى لِلسِّتِّ بَعْدَ ثَمَانِي. So it makes of a talented teacher, it makes up of a skilled tutor, that he seizes the opportunity. I had a good example. I was teaching some little children in the class, and then this brother and sister came, and the one knew the lesson, the other did not know it. So I asked the little boy, I said, Mashallah, you know your work? He says, yes. I said, your sister doesn't know her work. Why? He said, because Allah has given me a very good brain. Wallah, for me, the lesson was done. If this child in this era, where everything is attributed to oneself and to other things other than Allah, if this child can attribute his achievement to Allah, I considered the lesson done. For me, it was the message of the day. Whether I completed my syllabus or not, this child left attributing it to Allah, I think that's it. I've achieved it. Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, let's move on and explore detail. He then narrates the dream. After narrating it, the interpretation of one is positive while the latter is negative. Here again, now we talk of psychology, we talk of therapy. Look at the approach in which he engages them. So one was to explicitly say, you know what, you will be found innocent, hence you will be presenting wine to the king and you'll be restored your glory. And for you, well, you can start preparing, you have days left. But that's not the way. That's not the way. He said, Amma ahadukuma fayasqi rabbahu khamra wa amma al-akhar fayuslabu fata'kulu at-tayru min ra'si qudhiya al-amru alladhi fihi tastaftiyan. Listen, let me be vague. One of you will be found innocent, and I'm afraid the latter will be found guilty. He did not explicitly say. And psychologically, I actually found basis of this in the Quran. I was reading through Tafsir Jalalain, where Allah speaks about the fast. And Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Oh, you who believe, fasting has been ordained upon you as it was ordained on the nations that preceded you. And then Allah doesn't say for a month or 29 days. Allah says, أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَات. It's a matter of few days. Now, the author of Jalalain, the Mufassir, the commentator explains, why did Allah opt for this phrase? Why did Allah not suggest a month or 29 days, but rather Allah said few days? He writes, to relieve the burden psychologically on the ummah. That it's a matter of few days. And really speaking, it is a few days in comparison to 11 months. Really speaking, it is few days. But look at the approach of the Quran. Now, you know, under the commentary of this verse in Ma'ariful Quran, it is written, when Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam examined his army, and for some reason he could not find Hudhud, the bird that was tasked to locate water in the ground. So he used a very, very unique phrase. He said, وَتَفَقَّدَ الطَّيْرَ فَقَالَ مَا لِيَ لَا أَرَى الْهُدْهُدَ مَا لِيَ لَا أَرَى الْهُدْهُدَ أَمْ كَانَ مِنَ الْغَائِبِينَ. He said, this person is absent. Now one is you walk into a class, a child could be playing truant, someone is absent. He said, this bird is absent. What is wrong with me that this bird is absent? Not what's wrong with the bird that the bird is absent. He said, what's wrong with me? And then there's a beautiful quotation that's written there. إِذَا فَقَدُوا أَعْمَالَهُمْ تَفَقَّدُوا أَعْمَالَهُمْ إِذَا فَقَدُوا أَعْمَالَهُمْ تَفَقَّدُوا أَعْمَالَهُمْ. Our pious predecessors were such, when they failed to accomplish their goals, they examined their actions. They first went knocking on their doors. Where am I lacking? What's the matter with me? Shaykh al-Islam, Mawlana Shabir Ahmad Uthmani, rahimahumullah, nawwar Allahu marqadahu, has written something very brilliant. He said, I swear by Allah, if a correct statement is said with the correct intention, applying the methodology of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it has to have an effect. If it's not affecting, you're lacking on all three or one of the three. A correct statement, motivated by the correct intention, coupled with the precise methodology, it has to impress. It has to make an impact on that child. Anyway, when it comes to the point of separation, I'm still speaking on becoming the well-wishers of our children. When it comes to the point of separation and they depart. Now we spoke about psychology, how to engage them on a psychological level. Yusuf alayhi salam whispers to the one who's got a bright future and he said, Udhkurni inda rabbik. Udhkurni inda rabbik. Listen, you'll be given a noble position when you sit in his royal highness and you present wine to the king. Then maybe whisper in his ears, there's a talented innocent man sitting in the jail, and see if you can arrange my release by just putting a kind word. This man goes, and as is the human nature, when you go into a comfort zone, you forget. Who thinks of, you'll only remember that Maulana the day you have problems again. Till then his number is missing. And coincidentally, very ironically, you find it the day you need him. But be it as it may. 9 years lapse. The Quran says 7 or 9 bid'a sinin. And after 9 years, the king has a dream. And he has a vision. And this vision creates restlessness in his kingdom and his dominion. And he's desperate for an interpretation. And the ministers say, no, you know, these are muddled ideas. قَالُوا أَذْغَاثُ أَحْلَمْ قَالُوا أَذْغَاثُ أَحْلَمْ وَمَا نَحْنُ بِتَأْوِيلِ الْأَحْلَامِ بِعَالِمِينَ Listen, these are muddled ideas. By the way, we're not skilled. But he says, no, I'm desperate for an interpretation. Now, listen to this point. At this juncture, given the desperation of the king, this man recalled, hey, you know what, man, I had a good friend in the jail, man. Yeah. I recall he interpreted my dream. He told the king, leave me, give me a day, send me to the jail and I'll sort this out. Now I ask you, my brother and my sister, look at the reflection of Sayyidina Yusuf and look at the qualities of well-wishing in him. That here you have a very unique scenario. A fellow colleague or a fellow inmate of the jail who you've been kind and loyal and faithful to. And he on the reverse cannot do you one simple basic favor of putting a word. Yet 7 years down the line, when he's desperate of you, he still finds solace in you. And he still knows you're a person he can turn to. Notwithstanding that you have fallen short on his duty. And he still has the rights or the guts or the audacity, but be it as it may, he comes to Yusuf. I ask you and sincerely implore you, have you left your child convinced? Have you left your student convinced that if he walks out of this institution and today he snubs you, but you have not fallen short, tomorrow he has a crisis in his marriage life. Tomorrow he has a problem with his child. He can still say, I can pick up the phone and phone my teacher from Orient. He's been a faithful teacher to me. Sincerely, I ask you, have we left behind that gap? Is that communication open? I had a case now recently in this week where this brother took a second wife, and I don't want to go into that. That's a topic, you know what I mean? Anyway, he came home for some advice. Then I asked him about his parents. He says, well, and I'm sad to say my father did not show me a fatherly figure. You know, one was if he sat down with me and said, listen, son, what have you done? Why have you done? Let's engage the situation. You read Ma'riful Quran, and this is a critical point. The children of Yusuf, the children of Yaqub alayhi salam, perpetrated not minor crimes, but major crimes. They plotted the assassination of a brother, which is a major crime. They spoke a lie to the father. They deceived the father. 6 crimes have been highlighted there. But at no stage did Yaqub severe relation. He kept communication open. That whatever your mistakes and your blunders are, come back to me. Let's talk. Let's discuss the matter. Listen, you are wrong, but we are open to discussion. This is your school and I am your teacher. You can phone me after hours. Let me see how I can contribute constructively to your life. This man comes back after 7 years. He still finds the personality in Yusuf. He says, this is the man I can go back to. He comes straight to Yusuf. And he says, Yusufu ayyuha siddiq. Yusufu ayyuha siddiq. Aftina fi sab'i baqarat. You know, so beautiful. If we elaborate, we'll run into hours. I'm desperate. I'm in a crisis. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam salutes the spirit of Yusuf at this juncture. He said, my hat off for my brother Yusuf. I think if I was there and this man came to ask me for the interpretation, I think in all human senses, I would have told him, negotiate my release, then we'll talk. But I salute my brother Yusuf. He looked beyond his personal benefit and he conveyed in the spirit of benefit in the creation. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I salute my brother Yusuf. I think if I was there, I would say negotiate my release. But he was a selfless man and he looked at the benefit of that individual. And really we need to look at the bigger picture in essence in our life today. Unfortunately, we're looking at the smaller picture and hence we allow in petty things to grip us, to divide us and to disunite us. If the bigger picture, that is the well-being of the ummah, the preservation of the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is very important while we go the extra mile to accommodate. But let us have a clear stance. When it comes to Allah's obedience, then this is inflexible. When it comes to my comforts, it's flexible. But the issues of deen are inflexible. And this was the stance that was conveyed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sahaba say, يَذْحَكُ مِمَّا يَذْحَكُونَ وَيَتَعَجَّبُ مِمَّا يَتَعَجَّبُونَ. When we laughed, he joined us and he laughed. When we smiled, he smiled. When we spoke about the world, he joined in the discussion and he added flavor to it. If we were astonished, he expressed astonishment. But how dare we discuss something that was incorrect, and then he was a different man. Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu says, that I always regretted if I was absent in a gathering where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was present. But there was one day, those that were absent were envied more than those that were present. There was one particular day, the absent ones were the lucky ones, and that was the day where Sahaba engaged in the topic of predestination and taqdeer. And some said, are we doing what has been recorded? Or is our actions been recorded? So if it's recorded, why do it? And they went down this very sensitive, very intricate part, which cannot be understood by the human mind in totality. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you know, indulging in these intricacies led to the destruction of the previous nations. Why don't you leave what is to Allah for Allah and do what you have to do? So when it became an issue of Allah's deen, then it was inflexible. And this is very important that we stand our grounds. We are motivated by the constitution of the Quran, which outlines and defines our parameters and our borders. And accordingly, we will move onwards. He comes to Yusuf. He asks for the interpretation. Yusuf alayhi salam, in his kind gesture, in the well-being of this youngster, commits himself to something beyond. He said, listen, the interpretation of the dream is one, but that will not be enough for you. The interpretation in essence is 7 years of prosperity and 7 years of adversity. But what are you going to do? Let me help you how you plan. So he was asked one, but he responded by three. We generally, if we do someone a favor, and there's no monetary returns, we don't do a professional job. I mean, I'm not getting any money. I don't have to be competent about it. I don't have to see it's precise and it's efficient. I mean, I'm not taking any returns for it. But this wasn't the case of a Nabi. He then advised him, فَمَا حَصَدْتُمْ فَذَرُوهُ فِي سُنْبُلِهِ فَمَا حَصَدْتُمْ فَذَرُوهُ فِي سُنْبُلِهِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِّمَّا تَأْكُلُونَ. Let me help you how you can constructively engage yourself. In the 7 years of prosperity, don't harvest. Leave your crops. And you will use it when you're desperate. And then let me give you a glad tidings which your dream hasn't hinted, but my revelation has informed me. I share it with you as a kind gesture. ثُمَّ يَأْتِي مِن بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ عَامٌ فِيهِ يُغَاثُ النَّاسُ وَفِيهِ يَعْصِرُونَ. Let me tell you what's to happen in the 15th year. You will see total prosperity where people will benefit. This man was impressed. This man was overwhelmed and he returns. Now when we look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will find discipline is vital. I mean, we are in a world where we know we are in a constitution where corporal punishment has been prohibited. But again, when you study the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how unique a human, he was the one who said, keep the rod hanging, yet he never hit. Let's critically look at this. He said, keep the rod hanging, but he never lifted it. He never used it. When one looks at how he disciplined, because at times a person could be doing something wrong, and it could be offensive. Now, how do we engage this very, very difficult situation? There is a hadith in Mu'atta Imam Muhammad. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is performing salah. And a particular sahabi comes, and he joins the salah at the door, at the entrance of the masjid. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in ruku, in the passion to secure the rakat. So he joins in the salah at the entrance, and in salah he starts walking. Then he joins the congregation. So there's a bit of movement and shuffle. Now, if it was you and I, before I give you the answer, ask yourself how you would do it. You know, we would have made some remark, well, you should have started namaz at home and come. Is that the way you perform salah? You must start at home and come. But look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May my parents be sacrificed for him. May my parents be sacrificed for him. In two words, he said it all. There were two lessons at this juncture. One was that the sentiments of this man not be demoralized. That he be respected and appreciated for his spirit, but be politely informed and disciplined that the action was wrong. So he said it in his comprehensive words, زَادَكَ اللَّهُ حِرْصًا وَلَا تَعُدْ زَادَكَ اللَّهُ حِرْصًا وَلَا تَعُدْ The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I salute your enthusiasm, may Allah increase it, but don't repeat the action. And then you want to study methodology and skills and therapy at the hands of others? I'm afraid you have underestimated the house of prophethood. Can there be a tutor like this in the world who can engage such a critical situation in such an intellectual way? Zadakallahu hirsa. May Allah increase your zeal. What a brilliant spirit. Wala ta'ud, but don't repeat that action. That sahabi says, I walked into the masjid, and it was when communication in salah was made forbidden. So I said, Allahu Akbar, and I performed salah, and I sneezed. And I said, Alhamdulillah. And people looked at me in salah. So I did not know of the prohibition, the subsequent prohibition. So I said, Ma sha'nukum tandhuruna ilayya. What's wrong with you people? I'm performing salah. Why are you looking at me? And then I continued, Wala dhalin. So then they indicated and they said, Sakattu. I kept quiet. Now I waited. I said, what's going to happen? One is in salah, there is a shuffle. Potentially the children, that child, everybody knows there is going to be, he's be summoned to the office. There's going to be a bit of a noise. There's going to be a bit of drama. What's the reaction? He said, I knew, others knew, everybody knew there's going to be some interaction. He said, after salah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called me. I cry whenever I say this, and I cry whenever I read it. I only cry because I know I am way off the mark. I am way off the mark. In my tutin, may Allah forgive me, and that would be His kindness if He accepts it. This is the role model, this is the teacher, this is the tutor that humanity seen. He said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called me. فَوَاللَّهِ مَا كَهَرَنِي وَلَا ضَرَبَنِي وَلَا شَتَمَنِي فَمَا رَأَيْتُ مُعَلِّمًا قَبْلَهُ وَلَا بَعْدَهُ أَحْسَنَ مِنْهُ He called me. I swear by Allah, He did not embarrass me, nor ridicule me, nor victimize me, nor taunt me. He politely told me, this is salah, we communicate with Allah, and speaking has been forbidden. May my parents be sacrificed upon him. Never before nor after have I seen a more gentle tutor than Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let us ask ourselves, sincerely speaking, how are we engaging in our class setup? What is our condition? That incident of that young person who came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he came and he said, and one of the vital ingredients of a good teacher is patience. I mean, I always maintain that, you know, parenting is more, it disciplines you more than anything else. When you're a parent, it's more discipline upon you than anything else. Because your child is watching you, he's observing you, his gaze is on you. That youngster that came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he asked permission to fornicate. He asked permission. He literally came and he asked permission. The hadith is very long. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then engaged him. But the point that I want to depart on this particular interaction is that in the end, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam held him. He hugged him. He tried to instill within that child the hatred of this act. He logically simplified it. A child might be involved in substance abuse, Allah save one and all. But it's an inevitable reality that we are facing. We have moved on to a new stage where we say it, I'm not saying it proud in the sense that we rejoice, but it's an achievement considered that we have Muslim rehabs. In other words, we are also trying to counter the pandemic. So we cannot shy away from this. This is an absolute reality. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tried to instill the hatred in the heart of that particular sahabi. Then he hugged him. Then he put his blessed hand on his chest. And he made dua for him. He said, Allahumma ghafir dhanbahu, wa tahhir qalbahu, wa hassin farjahu. Allah, me and my ummah. And he desires this wrong. Why? Why is my student desiring wrong? Why is my child wanting to do something wrong? Allah, you forgive his sin. Allah, you safeguard his chastity. Allah, you preserve his integrity. That youngster said, that was the last I ever entertained the thought of immorality till the day I died. That was the last I ever entertained the thought of immorality till the day I died. So it is very important as parents, there has to be a collective role. I believe very strongly that any teacher and any tutor and any institution that is tutoring and educating my child, they are helping me accomplish my goal and my duty. So if my child lacks academically, Islamically, morally, socially, I will be held accountable. They are helping me accomplish my own task. And hence I should be supportive in the course. I should help and coordinate my activities. And I believe very strongly that he is a true well-wisher of this ummah who will serve on the board of the school even the day his children leave this institution. I'm afraid if I will serve as long as I have children and grandchildren, then my motives are somehow polluted and my motives are somehow, unfortunately, not clean and clear. When I am one that is there for the children of the ummah, I will look beyond my children and my grandchildren, and I will serve as long as I am breathing to see how this generation can prosper, and not my children in particular. And that ought to be our goal. Otherwise, we've become a selfish nation. Now, you look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We talk of interaction that is, you know, very expressive. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was dealing with an audience which was very multi, totally diverse. And he came across in a manner appealing to each person on his level. So he expressed at times he was eloquent, at times he also drew diagrams. We think today we have the overhead projector and we have the laptop and we advance. But make no mistake, he was the most expressive person. So let me give you a few examples. أَخَذَ حَرِيرًا بِشِمَالِهِ وَذَهَبًا بِيَمِينِهِ. He took silk in his left hand. He took gold in his right hand. Then he lifted it up like this. And he said, هَذَيْنِ حَرَامٌ عَلَى ذُكُورِ أُمَّتِي حِلٌّ لِإِنَاثِهِمْ. He said, look nicely. Can you see this gold in my hand? Can you see the silk in my left hand? These two are forbidden for the males of my ummah, permissible for the females. Now today we made to believe that, you know, you're teaching a child tayammum, take him outside and engage him. Look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how expressive an individual he was. When he spoke about the orphan, and really tribute was given to the late Isubai rahimahumullah, may Allah accept his efforts. Ameen. and let it continue, and for us to latch on to this legacy and prosper there onwards. When he spoke about those who seen to the well-being of the orphans, he said, "Ana wa kafilu al-yatimi fil jannati hakada." He said, "Myself and the well-wisher of an orphan." Then he pointed with his blessed fingers. And Sahaba said he put them together, his index finger and his middle finger. So he was very expressive. Sahaba said, "We were walking, we halted." He then drew a diagram. He drew a diagram on the ground. He made a block and then he drew a line. Khatta khattan fil wast kharijan minhu. He drew a line in the center protruding beyond this block. He said, "This is the human. This block, this is the lifespan. And the line protruding, these are the ambitions of man, way beyond his lifespan. Way beyond his lifespan." Then he made lines on either side, on the right and on the left. And he said, "These are the inevitable calamities." At times he's gripped with this. If he escapes one, the next one attacks him. Sometimes sickness, sometimes adversity, sometimes poverty. So he was expressive. He drew this and he expressed himself. Really, we need to study the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a father. We need to study the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a teacher. It's a very sensitive role. It's a very, very sensitive role in which we engage. And let me speak about briefly about one thing which are of utmost importance on both fronts, and that is patience and tolerance. Patience and tolerance is a vital ingredient for every murabbi, every guardian, whoever he nurtures and whoever he raises. Until there isn't vision and forbearance in him, it's a losing battle. It's a losing battle. If you study the life of every prophet, then you will find commonly in the beginning the prophet was the talib and the student, and the student was the matlub. And at a later stage, the prophet became the matlub and the student became the talib. What this in essence is the terminology. In the initial stages, the prophet went out. He went out. So he went to the people. He said, "Help me, support me, coordinate with me, put your hand in it." He did not sit down and say, "Respect me, salute me, honor me, and give me all credibility." This came later when the student was convinced on who his position was. Initially he said, "Man ya'khuduni, man yansuruni, man ya'wini hatta uballigha risalata rabbi." Who will shelter me? Who will give me protection that I convey the message of my Lord? And when they understood who he was, then they formed a human wall around him. They said, "Arrows on our back, but nothing on you. Arrows on our back, but nothing on you. I'm afraid we, from the point of graduation, want to become desired. Come to me, respect me, honor me." And this has killed every institution, and that is the passion of honor. The passion of recognition, that I be recognized. I be on record. I be revered. Sahaba say, Anas radiallahu anhu says, we were sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. One villager came. Anakha ba'irahu ala babil masjid. He came, he tied his camel at the door of Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Dakhal al-masjid. He then entered in. Then he looks at us and he says, "Ayyukum Muhammad." Listen, who's Muhammad in the audience here? Who's Muhammad here, by the way? Now let me ask you, my teacher, and let me ask myself. I'll use my name so I don't offend you. If somebody walks in my class while I'm engaged in teaching, and he walks in and he says, "Who's Sulaiman Mullah here, by the way?" And you use that example in your own context, what won't happen to you? He walks in and he says, "Man ayyukum Muhammad?" Who's Muhammad here, by the way? Sahaba say, we just looked at him and we said, "Hadha rajulul abyadul muttaki." Can you see this fair looking, well dressed, disciplined, dignified human, relaxing? He is the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sahaba say, he then comes to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, "Yabna abdul muttalib, oh the son of Abdul Muttalib." Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Qad ajabtuk." I'm listening, speak. I'm listening. He said, "Inni sa'iluk wa mushaddidun alayk fala tajidanna fi nafsik." Listen, I am going to ask you questions, and let me tell you from the beginning, my tone is harsh. My tone is harsh. I don't know softness, tenderness, gentle. I don't know it. From the beginning, I'm telling you, "Inni sa'iluk," I need to ask you, وَمُشَدِّدٌ عَلَيْكَ, and I'm going to be very stern and very harsh. فَلَا تَجِدَنَّ فِي نَفْسِكَ, I'm asking you, don't get offended. Nabi alayhi salam smiled and said, سَلْ عَمَّا بَدَى لَكَ. لَا أَجِدُ فِي نَفْسِي, you can have the satisfaction, I will never become angry. You can go on asking what pleases you. The ball is in your court. Sahaba say, in fact, Sahaba used to say, we love these villagers. We love them because we, out of respect, would never dare ask a lot of things. These villagers knew no limits of respect. They used to come and ask it all, and we used to learn. They used to come and ask, and we used to learn. I mean, we, just the sheer respect, the awe of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would suppress us and humble us, and we would not dare lift our gaze. And there were so many things. So Sahaba say it was always exciting when these villagers came in. It was because some would walk in like this, some would do this, some would say, Muhammad, the Quran speaks about it. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُنَادُونَكَ مِنْ وَرَاءِ الْحُجُرَاتِ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُنَادُونَكَ مِنْ وَرَاءِ الْحُجُرَاتِ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ صَبَرُوا حَتَّى تَخْرُجَ إِلَيْهِمْ لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ. Allah speaks about it in the chapter of apartments. The Prophet ﷺ resting, Sahaba were resting. They did not know the respect and the code of conduct. So they came to each apartment. Muhammad, where are you? Muhammad, can I speak? Where's Muhammad? Can I meet Muhammad here? Allah said, those who talk to you like this, they don't have intellect. They don't have brains. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ صَبَرُوا. If only they can wait outside your door, it would be better for them if they know who you are. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ صَبَرُوا حَتَّى تَخْرُجَ إِلَيْهِمْ لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ. And respect is the most fundamental ingredient in our institutions. This is the key issue that makes us different from any other institution. That we are made to understand you respect everyone. You respect your teacher, your seniors, your environment, your parents. You respect them all. And hence that Sahabi said it so beautifully, who was older than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So someone asked him, are you older or is the Prophet of Allah older? He said, huwa akbaru minni wa ana asannu minhu. I am older, however he is elder. I am older, but the Prophet of Allah is there. How can I be elder than him? I'm older. I'm born before, but he is elder. That is respect. And that's a critical issue. And I'm afraid respect is becoming absent in our institutions. So you walk in, I will not mention, it was in one country I went to, and I visited the school, I was left shocked, speechless. I could not believe the extent of vulgar, rudeness, unpleasantness the student would engage with the teacher. As soon as we've broken the barriers of respect, and we have defeated those barriers that Islam has put, that we understand our limits. Imagine that incident of Bukhari, that the Prophet ﷺ is speaking to the Sahaba, and he says that there is a particular tree that resembles a believer. Who has the answer? No, the Prophet ﷺ, it's a quiz. He also asks questions. He asks a lot of questions. And he would compliment someone. He would compliment someone. I found it to be very advisable. I mean, each teacher knows he can engage his class. With little children, if you just take out a 20 rand and put it there, and then you start talking. Start with a quiz with a 20. What's a 20 rand today? But for a little child, believe me, it intrigues them. It captures them. It brings about this form of you know, trying to vie with one another. So you incentivize the whole thing. You incentivize. So who performed salah this morning? What did you do? This type of situation brings about that consciousness. And that is exactly what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. He asked Sahabi, which is the greatest ayat in the Quran? And he said, ayat al-Kursi. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, congratulations on your knowledge. I know Allah has blessed you. Congratulations on your knowledge. I know Allah has blessed you. So anyway, this person walks in. He sits down. He then asks the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you ask and I will answer. He said, as'aluka bi rabbika wa rabbi man qablak. As'aluka bi rabbika wa rabbi man qablak. Allahu arsalaka ila an-nasi kullihim. I ask you in the name of your Lord and the Lord of those who preceded you. Has Allah himself divinely, individually selected you and sent you as a prophet, or is this a claim? The Prophet ﷺ looked down and he said, Allahumma na'am. You take a qasam, I'll also take a qasam. Yes, you're right, Allah has sent me. Correct. Second question. Anshuduka billah. Hal amaraka Allahu an nusalli as-salawat al-khams fil yawmi wal layla? Has Allah himself ordained the performance of 5 daily salah in one day? The Prophet ﷺ looks down, Allahumma na'am. Yes, you're right. Allah has commanded me. Anshuduka billah. I swear in the name of Allah for the third time. Allahu amaraka an nasuma hadha ash-shahra min as-sa'. Has Allah instructed that we observe the fast? The Prophet ﷺ says, Allahumma na'am. Yes, Allah has instructed me. Then he asked the final question. He said, Allahu amaraka an ta'khudha hadhihi sadaqa min aghniyaina fatuqassimaha ala fuqara'ina. This whole system of zakat, you take in 2.5% and you dispense in year. Where did you get this from? Is this a divine command of Allah? The Prophet ﷺ said, Allahumma na'am. Yes, you're right, sir. It is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, okay, that's all. Amantu bima ji'ta bihi. Amantu bima ji'ta. Give me your hand, I accept your message in front of you. And my name is Dhimam ibn Tha'laba. And I will go to my nation and I will represent your faith and I will invite them all to deen. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes out his hand, he then accepts Islam and he leaves. When he leaves, what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? One is to say, look at how ill-mannered. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, faqih ar-rajulu. Brilliant man, in a matter of few minutes he accepted it. Brilliant man, talented man, faqih ar-rajulu. He has the understanding. He took the message and he's gone. So really, respected brothers, friends, elders, mothers and sisters, it is, as I mentioned in my opening comments, that the first and the vital thing is that we are always learning. And there is much for us to learn. We can learn from all and there is always room for improvement. Let our eye be open. Let our eye be open that we can constructively contribute and that will become our asset and our investment. Our investment are these children. Whatever we will convey. And also very importantly, as every teacher, we ought to have ikhlas. Ikhlas and sincerity that we are here for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Really, every man needs monetary returns. This is a human need. But let it not be the ultimate factor. Let it not be the overwhelming reason. I'm afraid today if we analyze, many people, while they pursue a degree, it might have an element of human sympathy. It might have an element of human contribution. So he wants to become a surgeon in the name of contributing in this field, simply because there's a lack of surgeons, but the overwhelming factor is not this, the element of sympathy, but rather the monetary returns. And this is humanness leaving us. One of my scholars, every time we used to go to him and ask him that make dua for us, he used to say, may Allah make you humans. May Allah make you humans. And we used to say, you know, I mean, what do we look like? What do we look like? He says, may Allah make you humans in the true sense of the word. Who are humans in the true sense of the word? Who can convey, who can disseminate, who can become selfless and enrich and empower. The Prophet ﷺ never left any person demoralized. Never in his entire life. Another very important thing, it just comes to mind now, the riwayat of Shamail al-Tirmidhi. The Prophet ﷺ, during his discourses, كان يعطي كل جلسائه بنصيبه. لا يحسب جليسه أن أحدا أكرم عليه منه. He would balance his gaze to the whole audience, not leaving anyone in the audience with the notion that the Prophet of Allah loves him more than me. There was never this. In fact, the reverse was, everyone thought I was the most beloved. This is what the Shamail al-Tirmidhi says. Then his classroom comprised of 124,000 people and everyone thought I was the favorite. I have 3 children and I know between 3 sons how difficult it's to juggle myself. Everyone feels my father loves the other one the most and my Nabi could conquer 124,000 and let everyone leave thinking my Nabi loves him the most. Now what a critical area. We've got 20 in the class and we cannot resolve this. So there's a lot of homework for us to do with ourselves. Where are we lacking in this interaction? That everyone, كان يعطي كل جلسائه بنصيبه. Every man got his fair share. There was a sahabi by the name of Zahir radiallahu anhu, a very simple, ordinary man. Sometimes we have the ordinary student in our class, doesn't have a high profile background, but has some talent. Or doesn't have talent, but is a humble learner and makes his bit and makes his contribution. We know not who will brighten our name and who will be the one that will be the source of our salvation on the day of Qiyamah. So let's not underestimate anyone. This young Sahabi by the name of Zahir, poor, lived a simple, basic life, made his little livelihood. He had a little farm. He would occasionally come to Medina Munawwara, put his things out and sell it. So he was, you know, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there are some servants of Allah, in ghabu lam yuftaqadu. When they're absent, you don't look for them. In hadaru lam yuqarrabu. When they are present, you don't give them additional hospitality. Akhfiyaun fi dunya. You might see the man, but you'll never dare bother find out his name. Ma'rufuna fi sama. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, just for the record, let me tell you, every angel knows his name. You might not bother finding out his name, but every angel knows his name. His external appearance is such, if he comes to your door, you won't consider him deserving for a 50 cents. That's the hadith. In other words, a meager amount. لَوْ أَتَى بَابَ أَحَدِكُمْ. He comes to your door asking you, who's this man? Get rid of him. لَوْ سَأَلَ اللَّهَ الْفِرْدَوْسَ لَأَعْطَاهُ إِيَّاهُ. But his contact with Allah is that close, that if he asked Allah, جَنَّةُ الْفِرْدَوْسَ, Allah will grant it to him. So we don't know which student, and I have recently seen also, I mean, we are living in a world with such crisis that there is a lot of background related issues to each child. And many times a child comes in traumatized, given the trauma back home. I had a case in this week of a child where I did not know the child's father was in prison, and the child had to go to court, and there was a whole procedure behind it. Now can we imagine the condition of that? The condition of that child sitting in class, the focus of that child. Anyway, this young Sahabi by the name of Zahir, I will end shortly. Zahir radiallahu anhu comes, and he puts out his things to sell. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam takes out time, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes from the rear and blocks his eyes. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam plays with him, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, مَنْ يَشْتَرِي هَذَا الْعَبْدِ. Listen, I'm selling this man, I'm auctioning him, who wants him, have him. Now, is it below my dignity because I'm the HOD? Is it below my dignity because I'm the head of the teachers? That man that even Jibreel could not journey beyond his point. ثُمَّ دَنَا فَتَدَلَّا ثُمَّ دَنَا فَتَدَلَّا فَكَانَ قَابَ قَوْسَيْنِ أَوْ أَدْنَا فَأَوْحَى إِلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ مَا أَوْحَىٰ. He was that close to Allah that Jibreel said, I can bring you till you're from you and Allah. But he could humble himself to accommodate one ordinary sahabi that take out time, block his eyes and engage in some form of a lightheartedness. So this person feels the hands and he feels the soft palms of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He moves it and then his eyes meet with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he said, you want to sell me? إِذَن تَجِدَنِي وَاللَّهِ كَاسِدًا. You're going to sell me, I'm so cheap, what will you make out of me? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his humor was also motivation. لَكِنْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ لَسْتَ بِكَاسِدٍ. You might be cheap to people, but to Allah you're the most valuable man. Now can you imagine that words, how motivating it will be for that person for the rest of his life? Forgive this example, but this has happened in one Muslim school. Forgive me, but I was devastated when I heard this. The teacher engages the children, whether they were doing a lesson on animals or farming. Everybody is given a different name. And I cannot understand or comprehend, but I don't know how or why, but it happened. The teacher suggests one child to be a pig. This had happened. So this is your name. Child takes it, embarrassed or anything, whatever reason. Anyway, it sticks in his mind. That is now rooted into him. He goes home. After many days later, the mom says, okay, pick up the dirt outside. Oh, I know, mom, why I got to do it, because I'm the pig, isn't it? That's why I got to do it. It stuck with that child. Whether wittingly or unwittingly, intentionally or unintentional, deliberate or not. But we cannot afford to use such examples or make such blunders, which cause permanent, indelible impressions on the mind of that child. Now imagine this child grows up and imagine in this year. We need to be accessible. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu one day stands up in the Jummah and he says, all the allowances provided by the national treasury will be stopped immediately. There is acceptance, nobody challenges him. The next week he announces, the allowance provided by the national treasury will be terminated. There is silence. The third week, Jummah, he announces it again. One man stands up from the audience. He said, are you in charge of the national treasury, Amirul Mu'mineen? Hazrat Muawiyah said, no. He said, does it belong to your father? He said, no. He said, then who gives you the rights? Who gives you the right to decide? Muawiyah radiallahu anhu stood up and he hugged him. And he said, I was worried. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the sign of an evil ruler is, people will fear him and hence they will not access him even when he does wrong. Today you have stood up, I know I'm not in the category of evil rulers. Today you have stood up, you've challenged me. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this is my prophecy. An evil ruler is he who people will not be able to access him. People, there'll be no transparency, but none can challenge him. I'm glad that you have challenged me. I'm grateful to the Almighty, I'm not an evil ruler. You see when your student challenges you and are you accessible, then you decide for yourself if you're a good teacher or not. In conclusion, we make dua to the Almighty Allah that He inspire and instill within us those necessary skills and that adequate methodology by virtue of which we can make the much needed contribution to the desperate crisis of molding and guiding our children in this hostile and this difficult environment. May Allah take this institution from strength to strength, bless both the learners and the tutors. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.